episode. Welcome to the Puyo Podcast. I'm your host, Eric, joined with my hosts, Gazelle,
Gazipoo,
and Josh.
I'm currently not wearing pants.
Okay, alright, neither are we. Gazelle doesn't wear underwear.
I don't wear underwear, so.
Oh boy. And we're going to talk about things and stuff.
How about we talk about that crappy handheld system, the Game Gear?
You mean the one that I have three of in my lap currently?
You have three of them? I only have two.
I got three. I got two of the original runs and then one of the blue ones.
Do you have any of the Majesco ones?
Negatory. Yeah, I do not have any of those. Mine are all OG.
Why does it matter?
Majesco, they used better capacitors, so the screen looks better. And a later made screen, so it's the refresh rate is faster by like 0.05 or something.
Ooh.
So they're more sought after.
This Game Gear was purchased from Funko Land.
Ooh.
Do you have the receipt for it?
Doesn't have the receipt, but it has a previously played Funko Land sticker on the back.
Mm.
So Josh, tell me, how much do you play your Game Gear?
Next to none.
As do I.
I have played it a whopping total of maybe 4 times.
Yeah, same.
It's not good.
Me. Well, there's a reason why. It's because the screen is terrible.
The screen is not good, but in all honesty, in comparison to the Game Boy, it's actually a step up.
Well, it came out,
in my opinion,
within the same time as the original Game Boy, so going from that to that, you'd like see them side by side, and a kid would be like, is there even a question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but who had the better library is the question.
Well, that's... Well, yeah,
the original Game Boy had a library of just over 1,000 titles.
Well, at the time when it came out, though, it only had certain games on it.
Correct. But the extent of the Game Gear library throughout its entire lifespan barely exceeded about 300 titles. Mostly because of Nintendo and their licensing agreements that restricted third-party developers from putting games out within 2 years on other systems.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, you did.
It like strangled everybody.
It really put a very vicious lock on Sega or any other system at that time to getting other games. So pretty much anything that came out on the Game Gear was a Sega game.
There was some third parties, like, but not
yeah, there was a few, but definitely not enough.
I think Tengen was the second, or probably the most popular third party one.
That's why Sega decided to release the Nomad, where it didn't need its own library; it just used Genesis games.
I think they did a good job with that because nobody else did that.
That was a great idea to take your home like games and take it on the go.
And plus, they're like really small cartridges versus like anything else at the time.
That was just too goddamn expensive. I think it was like $250, $300 for a Nomad.
It's probably the same as
Jesus
Genesis.
Christ. They're still expensive. They're like $150, $200. Mm-hmm. And you never find them.
Mm-hmm.
You can get them for $100 on eBay, though.
Yeah, but that's still a lot. And considering I don't play Genesis, I have like 6 Genesis games.
You don't have 6, you have like 3.
Yeah, I have like 3 Genesis games.
And one's a duplicate.
Yeah, oh. I got 2 Sonic the Hedgehog 2s.
For shame, sir. For shame.
Hey, it's got a Chemical Plant Zone, the only good zone you ever need.
Bold claims.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh my god.
Dun, dun.
That zone is so hard. It's like the hardest zone of the game.
I'm gonna zone you out.
Just the freaking drowning struggle bus music is like... And you're like...
Oh, and the Game Gear had like 6 freaking batteries that it needed to suck up.
Yeah.
And that only lasted like 4 hours.
That's because it used a halogen light tube in it, which was like...
I know fucking space scientists.
Why did they do that?
What the hell is a halogen?
You know like those lights that you have in like schools where it's the halogen bulbs?
Oh yeah, dude, the weed pipes.
Those kind of bulbs.
Yeah.
There really wasn't that many other examples of portable backlit devices at the time, though.
I guess you're right.
So they kind of had to come up with something on the fly, but and the they're Lynx like, was, hey, this will work.
The Lynx was first, though, I believe.
What? No way.
Yeah, it was.
The Lynx was first. It came out with, I think it was like a 4-month lead.
It wasn't that long, but it was definitely before, I remember.
Yeah.
And the cartridges were really... I used to have a Lynx until I regrettably sold it. But it's... It definitely has its appeal, and I definitely want one back. Because it was fun, and the screen is just as... probably worse, actually. And it's a lot bigger.
In all honesty, I'm not a big handheld guy to begin with. I don't enjoy playing handheld titles.
Mm-hmm.
I did back in the day, but now I just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely prefer the Game Gear over the original Game Boy, simply as I don't have to be sitting directly underneath a light in order to see it.
You just have to have super vision to to be able to see it.
Especially
all.
Now when it gets like dark at like far out of 30.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sitting here right now with the Game Gear in my hand, and it's not bad.
Did you you should try, like we were talking about it before, about modifying it so you don't have the halogen tube in there, so it's just LEDs.
Yeah.
Which then the battery life goes up like tenfold. And then you can actually have batteries and you don't have to be connected to a wall all the time. And it definitely helps it. Like, if you put a diffuser in there, you still have, like, hot spots on the edges of it, but it definitely helps.
But even back when it came out, Sega and their infinite wisdom of coming out with a million and one accessories, they tried to solve that problem post-mortem by releasing the... external battery packs that you could have. There was the ones that could that clipped into the battery pack placement and were handles, and then there was the other one that would you could clip to your belt loop.
Oh yeah, I have that one.
What?
Yeah,
and they had all kinds of crazy attachments for this thing. They had similar to the Game Boy, they had the big magnifying glass. I think they called it the wide gear.
They did. I want to get one of those.
They had a whole bunch of really crazy, cool attachments. And you got the Master System attachment.
Yeah.
Which is freaking cool. I didn't know you had that.
Yeah, I bought it, like, a million years ago. But there's, like, certain models. And do not buy the one that the cartridge goes, perpendicular. Like, imagine the cartridge slot, but then... turn it 90 degrees, but on the top of the Game Gear. Like, it looks terrible in it.
Yeah, it looks weird.
Yeah, but the one that I have is just, like, it goes on the back and then slides in there.
Yeah, it's just a little clip.
It's really cool for games that don't use a lot on graphics. Like, RPGs, no way. You can't read anything. But, like, a racing game or, like, a puzzle game or, like, any game, like, an action game, it'll work, like, pretty good on there. And it's just cool that they, like, thought of the idea of, okay, let's make a converter. Because it's basically a Master System, but portable.
Yeah, it's almost the exact same architecture, in and of itself is cool.
The only thing that was different was the screen resolution, and I believe the Game Gear had more colors, so it was basically taking backwards compatibility rather than, like, forwards or same compatibility. Because the Game Gear was graphically more, like, better than the Master System.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't connect to a TV. But, if you've seen, they're making converters for that now, but they're a gazillion dollars, and you can't find them, and it's Japanese only. And it's... I was waiting forever for somebody to make it. For like 5 years, and nobody did it. And then I hear they're doing it, and it's sold out in 2 seconds. And then some guy started to use the same kit to modify his Master System, so you can just put the games in the Master System, and then it works on the TV, which is cool as all hell.
That does sound really cool, actually.
Because it's like the Nintendo Superboy.
Yeah. But having a better screen, like how the screen modification for the Nomad works, would be top tier.
Top tier.
But the Game Gear probably gets like a 2 out of 10, though.
Well, you haven't played a lot of... You don't have a Game Gear.
So I had a Game Gear when I was younger. I bought it at a church rummage sale for $10, and it came with Mortal Kombat 2 and Sonic the Hedgehog 2. And I had it for a while. And you know why I stopped playing it? Because it sucked up way too much goddamn batteries, and I played it for a long time. And I'm like, you know what? This is not worth it. I'm spending too much money on batteries.
Just get a wall plug, then.
I got it at a church rummage sale.
It's like a common plug. Use your Genesis plug.
I don't have a Genesis.
Yes, you do.
Heresy.
Yeah, I think I do.
Yeah, he does.
I think I do.
We'll walk into your room and it'll just be Genesis, like, everywhere. Genesis posters.
That's when you know something's wrong with me, or you're probably in an alternate dimension.
I'll be like, whoa.
What? Why is he so into Genesis?
Yeah, guys, dude, Sonic for all days.
You walk into
I love Sonic and the Lost Chronicle. Or what the hell is any Sonic?
Sonic Boom.
Yeah, Sonic Boom.
Okay, what games do you have, Josh, for your Game Gear?
For my Game Gear, I have a whopping, I think it's 5 titles. So, prepare yourself for the quality.
Alright.
Oh boy, here we go. Game number 1 is Axe Battler, The Legend of the Golden Axe.
It's like an RPG, though?
Yes, it's like a top-down RPG... similar to like Dragon Warrior or anything like that, but as soon as you come into a random battle, it's a side-scrolling fighter.
Ooh.
And it's, from what I've seen or from what I've played, it's you get hit once, the battle ends, and you get no experience and you lose a little bit of health. But if you kill the enemy, because it's like a real-time fight, mm-hmm. If you kill the enemy, you get experience, get possible item, and then continue on. So it's a unique kind of system. I'm not entirely sure if I'm convinced that I like it yet, but it's different. And it's not a bad little RPG, you know.
It reminds me of I'm looking at it right now. It looks like ActRaiser, kind of. At least in his design.
Yeah, he looks kind of like the hero from ActRaiser, or the champion, or whatever they call them in ActRaiser.
I think this game is in the Sonic Nexus Collection.
Because there is a Master System version called Golden Axe Warrior that goes for a ludicrous amount of money now. It's probably
$100 loose.
Yeah, it's like one of the only Master System games that's worth money. Apparently it's really good, and this is like the poor man's version. So I grabbed it. I'm playing it a little bit. It's all right. I mean, I have to save my total judgment on it for when I'm further than 20 minutes in. So,
where did you find it?
That one I found at a thrift store.
How much did you pay?
I paid like $1 for it. So it's like a $10 game, I think. It's not anywhere that expensive, but it was one of those games that stuck in my head simply because it was Golden Axe, and I'm like, hey, I'm gonna grab that. And my other titles are X-Men for the Game Gear, which is god awful. Sonic the Hedgehog, as you gotta have him.
You gotta have him.
And then the ever exciting Jeopardy.
Oh, no Wheel of Fortune?
No Wheel of Fortune, not yet. And my newest acquisition is Micro Machines for the Game Gear.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah, I did.
That's kind of up there, too.
Yeah, it's like a $20 game, if I remember correctly. So I was pretty good grab on that one. The Micro Machine game is actually kind of fun. It's your typical kind of RC racer, mm-hmm. but it's actually pretty playable on the Game Gear. It's mildly entertaining.
Yeah, racing games work really well on the Game Gear for some reason.
It's just, yeah, it feels nice.
It has aesthetics.
It does, indeed.
It's ergonomic.
I really like the way the Game Gear fits in my hands.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
It could be because I have bigger hands than most, but I like it.
No, I can feel that.
It's more comfortable to me than the Game Boy is.
Yeah, the original Game Boy is kind of square. What Game Boy do you usually use for all your Game Boying?
If I play anything on a Game Boy, I use a Game Boy Color.
That's exactly what I do.
That's simply because I don't have a Game Boy Advance SP yet. Simply because I want the backlight. It's the only reason I would use it.
You can modify your old Game Boy Advance to have a backlight, so it's more like a Game Boy Advance SP.
I don't like doing that. I don't like fuddling with my original tech.
But it's good for technology-wise. Plus, you get more handsy, and you learn how the system works. And in the process, you can.
I already know how the system works.
And then why the f*** you're
crying? I can understand modifying a Game Gear, though.
Yeah, I mean, seeing as I have three of them.
They're getting expensive.
Original.
Just kill two of them and make the blue one work.
Oh, the blue one. It's so sexy looking.
I think they made a red one, too.
Yeah, they did.
They made a red one. They made a pink one.
A white one.
They had a Coca-Cola edition that was only in Japan that was red and had Coca-Cola on the bottom. It looks awesome. But good luck. Good luck grabbing one of those.
Well, the games that I have... Well, I found... Like, I got a really good deal because I was traveling around to half-price books and stuff a couple of years ago, and they had these package deals where it was, like, a Game Gear and then, like, 30 games for, like, $50. And I was like, that's too much. And then you wait till it went on sale and you buy it for $25. And that's how I got the majority of my stuff. And I went and did that twice, so that's why I have two Game Gears. But a lot of the extras I sold off over time. So I had, like, 9 copies of Sonic at one time.
Well,
like, I'm not even kidding. It was only Sonic 2.
Well, that's probably why they wanted to get rid of all your freaking copies at Mega Media, because they were literally selling that and The Lion King for 25 cents a pop, and it was in a cardboard box, and there was just mounds and mounds of dead cartridges of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and Lion King.
I actually remember that.
25 cents for your own copy.
But my games that I have Sonic 1, exciting. It's not bad, but it's different from any of the, like, Genesis Sonic games. Sonic 2, Sonic Blast is just weird.
Yeah, I played a little bit of Sonic Blast. It's different.
I do want the Genesis version of it, but it's, like, weirdly three... Like, why? Just to prove a point, or... I don't know. Sonic Triple Trouble, which is probably the best Sonic game on there, in my opinion. Tails Great Adventure, or Tails Adventure, is like an adventure game with Tails, but it's weird. If you know what I mean.
Excellent synopsis. I completely understand.
It's hard to, like, explain it, because it's like they tried to do an adventure aspect, but it's, like, way too zoomed in, and the controls are kind of weird, but... It's kind of okay. Sonic Chaos is probably the other good one that I enjoy. And moving on to Miss Pac-Man.
Now you're speaking my language.
Exciting. NBA Jam, which is actually a really good port.
The NBA Jam's good, no matter how you slice it.
And it's the tournament edition, so...
T.
And,
He's on fire!
Paperboy, which has different music from the NES one, but it's still Paperboy. And getting on to the more exciting ones. A bootleg copy of Mortal Kombat 2.
Bootlegs?
Ooh.
Yeah, instead of Sega, it says game.
Game Gear.
And it's, like, in Japanese slightly, and the label is completely off-center. And very blurry.
That sounds fantastic.
It's amazing. And then X-Men, just like you said you had.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's pretty bad, yeah. Spider-Man and the X-Men, I think. Arcade.
Oh, boy.
It's Revenge.
That game.
Freaking RoboCop versus Terminator.
The game is really bloody on the Genesis.
I was surprised to even find this, because I was like, they made that? VR Troopers, which look like Power Rangers.
Nice.
Samurai Showdown, which isn't bad, in my opinion.
I'm actually pretty jealous of that. Samurai Showdown's so good.
It plays pretty well on the... Because it's, like, fast in a fighting game, but on the... Or on the Game Gear.
So. I'm pretty sure that one has the gear-to-gear capability.
Ooh, you're going to have to...
Go head-to-head on that.
And we'd have to find a cable.
Yeah. Well, you know. In due time.
And probably the best game I have for it is Land of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse.
Oh, that is absolutely fantastic, though.
I do want Castle of Illusion really bad, but...
Castle of Illusion is the highest rated game on the Game Gear to date.
Oh, and I forgot I have it in my Game Gear. Shinobi 2, which is phenomenal. It is really good.
Oh, Shinobi.
And a little known thing about the Game Gear is most of the games were actually ported from the Master System to the Game Gear of all the Master System games we didn't get from, like, Brazil and Europe and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the versions on the Game Gear instead of on the Master System.
Oh.
If you didn't know that.
Now you know.
The more you know. So, how did you have a nice nap, Gazelle?
I did. Gazelle, how's your Game Gear collection?
I don't have any because I don't want to play Game Gear.
Gonzalo, tell us about your Game Gear collection.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I got Empty Package. The sequel, Empty Package 2, No Remorse, good choice. There's also another game called Every Single Game Gear You Find Has Busted Capacitators.
Yeah, all of them have busted
capacitators.
Capacitators.
It's Allo, it's not Ramadan. It's not Rastadan.
It's Rastadan, dude. I never fast. I just don't see the fascination in a Game Gear. I can see why someone would enjoy it, but it's definitely not for me.
If it had
like,
a better screen.
I'm on the same boat with Josh, where I'm not a handheld guy. If I have like the option of playing on a big-ass screen TV with beautiful graphics and amazing sound, I'd rather be on that than some dinky-ass handheld.
That's why...
Like, why Nintendo wisened up and made the Super Game Boy or whatever, so you just pop them right in and...
Well, people are trying to do that now. But
it's called a PlayStation
it's
TV.
Really
and
hard.
You're not using
Have you
it.
Seen the pin connector on this?
No,
it's like insane.
82
like,
pins.
It's like really, really weird. I don't have a screwdriver, but if you look in there,
I don't know if it would be Nintendo wising up to make the Super Boy, because the original Game Boy sold over 118 million units.
Well, thank you, Tetris, baby.
And the Game Gear, it's valiant attempt to catch the Game Boy.
It was like pretty
sold around 11 million.
It sold pretty well though.
Compared to the any other competition, which was pretty much the Lynx.
Nothing. Yeah.
It was the Lynx and the Turbo Express.
Yeah, well,
nobody
the Turbo
could afford the
Yeah,
Turbo
nobody
Express.
Could afford.
Yeah, no one can afford a Turbo Express, man.
Which is really the only downfall the Turbo Express has.
It was literally probably the best thing there.
It was literally a portable TurboGrafx. There was no difference.
It was the battery life and the marketing that killed it.
Mm-hmm. Which is just a damn shame. Tetris and Tennis.
No, Tetris and Super Mario.
No.
And Castlevania. Legends.
Yeah, that was really a game player.
Oh, it was so bad. It's such a horrible game.
Isn't that the one that's really expensive?
No, that...
That's, Yeah.
No.
Legends is expensive adventure.
I'm thinking about Castlevania Adventure.
Belmont's Revenge is pretty good, though.
That's the second one, yeah.
Simone Belmondo.
Simone Belmondo! What other good Game Boy games are there out there?
This isn't a Game Boy,
though. Mole Mania.
This is Game Boy, though.
You want? I grabbed my freaking shelf.
Even Mike
Matei
wanted the Game Gear because he's like, hey, look, it's got color. And then once he finally got it, he's like, nah, fuck this shit. Game Boy all the way. Because, I mean, yeah, it's got color and it's got better sound, but you can't beat that sweet library. Plus, you can't live without Mario.
You can't beat that stranglehold holding the market.
It wasn't really their fault. It was all marketing.
Yeah, they were just trying to get an edge over Sega.
The only reason why they stopped supporting it was because at the time they were supporting that, the 32X, the Genesis, the Sega CD.
They didn't need all that shit.
They were supporting too many things at once and they had to drop stuff, and I think that was the first thing they dropped.
The Sega Saturn, because Guardian Heroes. It's beautiful.
Guardian Heroes haunts my dreams.
They released that on XBLA.
That's great. Hopefully the price will go down.
Nope, because it was released like 4 years ago.
Well, we get the word out. Everybody go buy Guardian Heroes on Xbox Live Arcade and sell your Saturn copy.
Also, please buy Radiant Silver Gun and Ikaruga so you can lower the price for that as well.
Alright. Thank you.
If you find a copy of Radiant Silver Gun, please let me know, because I would just like to kiss it. That's all I want. It's just to caress it in my hands.
Oh, you're not going to get it, so.
What are you? You don't even play shmups.
You don't even play games.
Fucking Mr. Macross video game.
Oh.
I think I'm so good at it.
I'm not going to talk about this podcast, but. Oh, Macross.
You and your sweet love for Robotech.
Oh, it's, I don't know what happened. But oh, it was like
did Eric tell you, Gonzalo, that I got you a copy of Gunsmoke?
No,
I got you a copy of Gunsmoke.
Oh, thank you.
Okay,
how much do I owe you?
$3,000.
Make it $5 and you got a deal.
You don't owe me anything.
I'll just throw my NES Advantage. That way, I don't break all my fingers.
Yeah, you need the advantage.
And then I can get my big booty horse, and I can shoot in all six directions, and then finally maybe I can beat that stupid shinobi boss.
I beat him once.
He's very hard.
It gets even harder after that.
Oh, that game is... The arcade version is stupid hard.
Yeah, we don't even talk about that.
It is literally set to 12.
Alright, Game Gear officially closed?
Yeah, I'll take it. What the hell's a Game Gear? There's a lot of good Neo Geo fighting game out there.
Neo Geo was only fighting games.
Pretty much. Yeah, they had amazing sprite work. They knew what that, like, King of Fighters sprites. Oh my god, they're so crisp and clean.
They supported that for like ever.
King of Fighters?
No, Neo Geo for like ever. Until like, I think it was till 2002.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they supported it for a very long time.
Are we talking about like Neo Geo CD, or are we talking about like Neo Geo
cartridges?
Oh my god, those things are huge.
They're so. That's like the ultimate feeling when you push one of those into the system, because it's so beefy, it's so chunky, it's so satisfying.
Just it's so chunky. Just by the Neo Geo X Gold system, dude. I think that's the portable one.
It's the biggest piece of crap.
Gotta get NOM 1975.
Okay.
Oh.
They stopped technical support in 2007. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
When I was younger and I did go to arcades, that's what I saw. I saw Metal Slug. And I saw Fatal Fury. And I saw... You know, Samurai Showdown, which, oh, so good.
Samurai Showdown 5 is amazing. Special.
So good.
Oh.
And I used to play those all the time. So when I think of arcade, I think of SNK.
Well, yeah, I can agree.
Metal Slug 1 through 5, NOM 1975. What else do we got there? We got Shock Troopers. We got Shock Troopers 2, Second Squad.
They didn't do much out of fighting, though. They did a little bit.
They didn't venture too far out of fighting games. Most of their stuff was fighting games.
But the fighting games they did make were all
top-notch. Really, some of the best 2D sprite work ever.
I'd say the best, probably.
The best sprite work. I don't know what black magic they used, but every single frame looks just amazing.
The first time I saw Garo Mark of the Wolves...
Oh,
the movement in those sprites was like, it floored me. I was in just complete awe.
Especially when you play as the Kim Kwap Hwan kids. Like, oh my god, those frames.
His pants swaying as he's jumping. Yes. It's like, oh my god.
Or, who's the... Who's the grappler in that character? T-Sack. It's not... the army guy.
Oh, is his name Ken?
I want to say... No, it's Kevin.
Kevin
is his name. And when he's just jumping around and moving his fist and his belt's going with him, I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, the amount of detail is beautiful. Into it. It's just...
And the stages look great, too.
Masters of 2D sprite fighting.
They're never going to die in my heart. They'll always live on.
Do they still do sprite work?
They do. The last King of Fighters game that they made was all hand-drawn sprites, and it looked absolutely gorgeous.
They'll never stop.
They did stop for a short time. There was, I think, 3 entries that came in.
Wasn't it 3D or something?
Where they tried to do 3D models. Well, yeah, there's one that's like full-on 3D, kind of like Street Fighter EX style.
Are you talking about King of Fighter Maximum Impact?
Yes, Maximum Impact.
Yeah, I have that, and it plays really weird.
It's not a bad game, but it's just very different to the series.
Generally speaking, I think most 3D fighters just suck in general.
You better say with one exception.
I'm assuming you want me to say Tekken.
You should assume that you should say Tekken because it's the correct answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm watching you.
But no, like Mace, the Dark Age, Biofreaks.
War Gods.
Like, oh my god. Yeah, oh. Atrocities.
So good. War Gods, best example.
I can see why the it probably sounded really good on paper, like mythological gods like fighting against each other to prove who's the best, like Jesus fighting Buddha.
But then they gave it to Midway.
Yeah.
There's your problem.
And then they just did the whole Mortal Kombat thing with them. They're like, blood, gore, fatalities, that'll sell the game. Nope.
This might be divulging a little bit, but the team that made Mortal Kombat could not make a good fighting game outside of Mortal Kombat. Because they tried. They tried a lot. Yeah, but that was after an entirely different
renaissance. Are we talking about like 90s?
Yeah, we're talking about they made Mortal Kombat and then they said, well, we can make anything we want to because we made Mortal Kombat. And then they came out with Mace and they came out with War Gods and they came out with Tao Feng, Fist of the Black Lotus for the Xbox, and it was
Tao Feng was
that was
them. Oh my god!
And it's so bad. It's just this clunky mess of garbage.
Sounds like it. I know nothing about all these games. I never played them.
Well, me and Josh were really into fighting games.
Yeah.
Apparently the worst
ones. Well, those are the bad ones. I can give you a list of good ones, too.
Well, if you want to know the good from the bad, you got to play the really shitty ones first.
In order to truly appreciate.
That moves smoothly into favorite fighting games.
Da-da-da.
So smoothly. I should get a freaking Grammy for that. Does that even apply? Is that music?
You get the first official Grammy for segues. So does that sound?
All right, I can go for that.
It's like a golden segue. That's what it is.
The ones that go so fast, your nose is literally touching the ground. So you're like grinding.
Have you seen those weird boards that people have now, where it's like a segue, like segues without the handle?
Yeah, those look great.
They're like $500.
Yeah.
Dude, we should probably invest in that company. Let's buy stocks now before they get too expensive.
Buy stocks.
Before they go down to 1 cent.
I want to buy stocks. And then I can use my dividends to buy one.
All right, well.
But favorite fighting games.
I want you to start this one off, Eric. I want to hear what you're
saying. Yeah, dude, you're like the least one here.
The least one here.
Well, you don't know how to play footsie.
Least well-versed. I believe, if I remember correctly, last time I accompanied you to Galloping Ghost, you were encountered by a fighting game aficionado who, as he whooped the shit out of you, as he was leaving, his parting words were, "Nice clicking."
And he was probably twice as young as I was, anyway. That was the.
He was a nice kid.
He's a dead kid now, but.
It's alright. I murdered him in Marvel vs. Capcom and Street Fighter.
Now that we have a background for Eric's level of expertise in the fighting game field, Eric, what's your favorite fighting game?
It doesn't even matter, no.
Don't jump in the game.
Okay, because I'm shut up. I'm going to punch you in the face. In like 2 seconds. You're getting back all my rage. I didn't play fighting games when I was a kid. Like, that wasn't... Nobody had it. I didn't know anybody who had it. The people that I knew who had consoles had Nintendo consoles. Mm-hmm. And Nintendo consoles tend to be the ones that have the least fighting games.
They are quite lacking.
So, I didn't grow up with them, and I never played them. But when I first got my Genesis, like, 7 years ago, the one that started me collecting, one of the first games I bought for it was Street Fighter II Championship Edition. And that's where I got my start with it. And by far, that one is my favorite to this day, because it's the faster of the Street Fighter II incarnations. And I think the Genesis one plays a little bit better than the Super Nintendo one. But that's just my opinion.
Ugh.
I think it's a tad faster.
Blast processing, all right.
I think that just kind of comes down to preference. But yeah, I mean,
and I'm not the biggest fan of shoulder buttons when it comes to fighting games. I like all the face buttons personally. But well, you had to have the 6-button controller to play it anyway properly.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't press start in the middle of a combo.
Yeah, start to switch between punches and kicks. No way. But that one, and I played a lot of Tekken 3. Not a lot, but enough to noodle around with.
All about that Tekken 3.
Which got my interest in, oh, you can do it in 3D, and it's got good music, and it plays well, and it's like somewhat realistic, because you fall down and you have to get back up, I guess.
I guess.
It's more realistic than Street Fighter. I think that's it for my experience with it. But the one that I like the Street Fighter II Championship Edition the most, but a very, very close second to me is, I think it's this, I can't remember if it's the first or the second Samurai Showdown, is one of my favorite ones to play, for sure. It's just fun.
They're great.
And I do like King of Fighters 93, I think. I think it's 93. I can't remember which one it is. But I really like that one, too. But that's me. How about you, Josh?
Oh, hopping right into me, huh?
Yeah, well, hop right in.
Well, all right, well, we'll give it this way. My favorite fighting...
Narrow it down to 50.
My favorite fighting game series, by far, is the Tekken series. I play an obscene amount of Tekken because I love it. I love the way you can kind of custom make your own combos with the existing ones that they have. You can find your own ways to chain them together, and there's a whole lot of free-flowing creativity that goes into it, and I absolutely love it. When you can create a combo that can do 3/4 of somebody's health and it's one of your entirely own design, nothing is more satisfying than that. But you start that chain off and it's just like, yeah. Oh, you haven't seen this one before because this is my own little spin. Boom. And then they're dead. And you hate to see it, but that's just the way it happens. So Tekken, it's definitely my top.
What is your favorite... What's your favorite console to play fighting games on? Controller-wise.
I'm very much used to the PlayStation controller. That's where I started... That's where my fighting game history began, was on the PS1. So the PlayStation controller has not changed much at all over the past three and four iterations of it. So that's the most consistent, and I actually, I used to play, I never made it too far, but I did make it to, like, regional tournaments for Tekken, and I would be the only guy using a controller, as far as everybody else would be using their own custom arcade sticks that they spent a couple $100 on, and I would just walk up, plug a controller in. and make it a couple rounds.
Have you changed that way or not?
No, I still play majority with a controller.
I can't play with an arcade stick at all.
It's because for me, it's a completely different learning. Like, I have to completely relearn how to do all of my combos and everything I used to do because I'm so used to using the regular PlayStation controller. So it's a entirely different relearning process for me, and I just haven't taken the time to dedicate to doing that. I just default back to, I know this, and I go with that. So, but just because Tekken's not really all that much of a shock to anybody who knows me, I'm going to say one of the first fighting games that I distinctly remember as being one that really got me into them was Capcom vs. SNK Pro for the PlayStation.
And Dreamcast.
But I had the PlayStation version.
Oh.
So that's why. I got it for my birthday from my sisters, actually. They chipped in together and bought me that, and I played it nonstop for about 2 weeks straight. All I would play is Capcom vs. SNK Pro.
I forgot to mention that I played a lot of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 on the Dreamcast. But
I love the Versus series in general. They're all really good. Tatsunoko vs. Capcom is awesome.
Does it have Robotech in it?
No, because
Tatsunoko helped animate it, though.
No, there's no Robotech on there. And you don't know. I know for sure.
There's a lot of obscure anime in that.
There's Yatterman or whatever.
Gotcha Man.
Tatsunoko versus... that's very interesting because that's literally an anime company. Well, I guess it's not too far considering video games are really related to anime.
They all heavily influence each other, really. I mean...
Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed that one only came out for the Wii, but...
Yeah. That is kind of disappointing.
That's just me.
But what can you do about it? The only bad versus game I ever played was SNK versus Capcom Chaos, which is the third one, but it was developed by SNK, so it's got SNK sprites, which look really good, but the gameplay is all King of Fighters, and I don't like that. It's way too steep of a learning curve.
That's just because you're so used to Capcom fighters.
Well, that's what the past two were. There were six button fighters, and now I got this goddamn SNK button setup at the foot. Although, they do have really good sprite design, like Violent Ken and Mars People and Zero from the Game Boy Advance series Mega Man Zero look really good. But yeah, that's just my gushing love for those Capcom fighting games.
What is your favorite?
Oh, fuck, that's
it
a
really
hard
is a hard
one,
question.
You could pick a series, too.
Well, I don't want to sound really cliche and say Street Fighter, because everyone says that. Thrill Kill. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Thrill Kill.
I think you can still go on a website and burn it on a CD and play it on your PS1 if you wanted
yeah.
to.
Oh yeah, isn't that like really, really bloody and like
yeah,
weird?
It's super bloody and they canceled it a few days before release. But they still wanted to use the engine for Wu-Tang Shaolin Warriors.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how much Wu-Tang was
for. It's up there. I'm pretty sure that one's like close to 30, if I remember correctly.
Really? I can see why people will want it, because it's literally Thrill Kill.
Yeah, that Thrill Kill is in the public domain now. Yeah.
Is it really?
As of recently,
you can actually just download it. Wu-Tang's average is 20. My mistake.
Okay.
That's pretty expensive.
That's pretty expensive for my taste.
Considering BioFreaks is like $1. And it's about the same quality.
I wouldn't buy that.
I think Wu-Tang would be fun if you have actual people to play with.
Yeah, that's true.
It forces you to be offensive. So if you're a defensive player, you gotta get your ass up and get in there. Play that footsies game.
Okay, I'm going to have to call you back. It's been an hour.
No.
It's going to be like 2 seconds.
Goodbye, cruel world.
Gotcha, Force.
Where is it?
You got any vitamin C tablets?
No. Why would I?
I don't know, Eric. I thought you'd take care of yourself.
Vitamin C tablets.
Just to wake up.
It's not gonna wake you up.
Yeah, it does. Vitamin C naturally wakes you up. Stop being a bitch. Oh my god, Eric. You don't know anything.
You give me credit. Give me credit. Oh, yep. I got one.
And we're gone.
Oh my god, I'm still here.
Alright, we're back.
Sup, sweetie.
So Rachel made me dinner today, and she made some meatloaf, and I tried it, and I'm like, this is really not very good. So I had to make my own food, so I had to put it all away before she gets home, before she realizes I didn't have any of her meatloaf.
Would she be hurt by that?
Probably. So I'm just like, I'm just gonna avoid this whole situation.
You didn't eat my meatloaf.
It was not okay. The meatloaf. Fuck.
It's just good. Mom, meatloaf.
I took like 3 bites of it. I'm like, yeah, I'm not eating this.
Wasn't that seasoned enough?
I don't know what. I don't really think I like meatloaf all that much to begin with, so I think that's more the issue. But it was just not my cup of tea.
Hey, get your ass over here. Yeah, but that's one thing.
Speaking of
going.
That, we're gonna move into a Sega arcade game.
Alien
Sisters. Okay.
Alien Syndrome.
Okay, no, they weren't talking about it.
Shut up! I'm Eric, and I'm getting really butthurt.
I'm kidding. I'm too warm. This is
Take
so
your
hot.
Stupid jacket off. Oh my god, look at that six pack.
We went to Galvin Ghost recently, but Josh wasn't there, sadly.
But Galvin Ghost,
we played a lot of games. But the game that we played the most.
No, we didn't.
Yes,
was
we
you
did.
In Squadron.
Well. Besides that, we finished UN Squadron.
Macross.
But we also played Macross a lot. But the one game that you and I, we finished with, that we both were getting really competitive with each other, was Turbo, which I didn't know at the time was made by Sega. And, oh my gosh, that game is ridiculously fun.
It's literally Pole Position.
It is, but it isn't. It's like any other racing game at the time, but the backgrounds change kind of sporadically sometimes that mess you up, but it has such varying environments that it feels different and fresh every time you play it. Yeah. And it uses, like, the analog steering wheel and the shifter between high and low. And then the point counter is on a
LED light.
LED, like, 1980s calculator kind of LEDs, if you know what I mean.
With red numbers and shit.
Yeah, the red
up.
Numbers. For like, and it has each person's high score, like up to 5 of them, like just to the left of the screen in those numbers, which is really cool. And when you're getting a high score, the numbers like go up and up and up and up, like in real time, which is cool.
That is really neat.
But that was, have you ever played Turbo, Josh?
I have never played Turbo.
The arcade version wins by far, but there's only 2 ports that I know of. I'm pretty sure it's not on any collection, but it's on the ColecoVision and the Intellivision. And the Intellivision one is, I believe, more expensive. But with the ColecoVision one, I have it, but you need the driving controller to play it with the pedals, which is the only way to really play it anyway. But you can't play it without it, which sucks.
That is kind of a bummer.
But that's one arcade, Sega arcade game. Josh, you have another Sega arcade game?
Actually, I do have a Sega arcade game, and it's not Outrun. But it is one of my favorite arcade games. Golden Ice is good. But Gonzalo and I have a history with this game. And this game is called Rostan.
That's not Sega, dude.
I'm pretty sure it's Sega.
It's Taito.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm thinking because it's on the Master System. Yep. I thought it was Sega. Oh, damn it. Never mind then. You can't just put me on the spot like that. So.
It's tight, though.
What's it called? Golden Axe, The Revenge of Death Adder.
Revenge of Death Adder.
Oh my god, that is such a good beat 'em up. I think you can play as the original dwarf. I think the original swordsman as well. And you can play as a centaur lady and a giant and a midget as one character.
The Revenge of Death Adder.
If you're going to look it up, look up Death Adder. No, the original Golden Axe isn't that good.
It's really not.
Just how, like, there. What's that? Altered Beast blows.
Altered Beast does not blow.
I don't know, man.
It aged very poorly, though, you have to admit.
Altered Beast is a fun game.
No, it's not.
I enjoy it. It's not a bad game by any means.
It's not bad, I'm just saying. It's like.
You know there was a Golden Axe fighting game?
Like a one-on-one fight?
Yeah, like a 1v1.
Really?
Yep. It's called Golden Axe the Duel.
I do remember that, actually. Yeah, I have seen that game.
And you can play as Death Adder in that one. And you got, like, you know, your fireball commands and your supers. It's actually really good.
Yeah, so it was alright.
It's for the Saturn.
Well, it's for the Saturn?
I have my Sega arcade game, then. Since Rostown has been proven to not be a Sega game.
I'll see if it's Sega.
I really thought it was. But no, this one is. I know for a fact this one is.
It's Super Mario.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. Super Mario World, 6 golden coins, the arcade. That's what it is. No, it is Shadow Dancer.
Oh, I've never played.
Shadow Dancer is freaking awesome. Because it's essentially Shinobi with a dog.
Wait, you play as a ninja dog?
No, his dog.
You get like a ninja dog that you can tell him to go disarm bad dudes, and he'll go and bite their arms off. It's freaking awesome.
This sounds like Metal Gear Solid 5. Are you sure you're not talking about Metal Gear Solid 5?
Yeah, it's Metal Gear Solid 5, but in the arcade in 1980. That's when.
Oh, I think Hideo Kojima stole a couple ideas.
1989. I stand corrected. 1989. But it is actually an offshoot of the Shinobi series.
I recall a port on the Genesis.
There is a Genesis port, however it is a completely different game from the arcade.
I am reading that right now.
No fair looking up information.
I think it says the Master System one might be the same.
I don't know, Eric.
Yes, it's the same.
Shadow Dancer is part of the Shinobi series.
It is.
That's cool.
It's just as good as any of the other Shinobis, but with that extra little twist of adding your little ninja dog in there. So it helps you strategize on how to take out certain things that you normally wouldn't be able to. But they can kill your dog.
Oh my gosh, she's snoring so loud. Let me just put the mic right here.
Yeah, I played it when they announced it. It just made it louder. Yeah, it's significantly louder now.
I put it right next to his face. Oh my god. We gotta wait for this to pass.
It's not gonna pass, he's gonna keep snoring. It's so good.
Is he like... What is that disease where you keep falling asleep?
Narcolepsy?
No, is he narcoleptic?
Probably. At this point, I think he kind of has to be. With how often he does it.
Probably.
Nope.
Nope.
Go back to sleep, Grandpa.
Not talking about me.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my gosh. Look up the Tetris cover for Nintendo Power. I've never seen Tetris look so good in my life. This is amazing.
Nintendo Power.
I believe the subtitle is Get Tetris-ized.
Yeah, okay, I see it. That's pretty intense.
Like, I would think, what would you do to make that, like, entertaining, but... Wow, they did it. That's amazing.
There's actually a pretty cool part in Pixels where like everything start like all the games start to attack the world all at one time. And Tetris, like you see like the Tetris blocks going up to like a random building, and when they get a line cleared out, it like takes a giant chunk out of the building and the building falls down. It was fucking sweet. Like, the effect on it was awesome.
Sounds pretty cool.
just took a giant chunk out of the building. I was like, that's fucking sweet.
Sounds like you love it.
It's not a bad movie.
It's really I'll be the judge of that.
It's really not a bad movie.
You're gonna have to sway me quite hard with it.
Dude, you just gotta watch it.
Nobody does that to Qbert and gets away with it.
Nobody does do it to Qbert.
It's implied. You see,
It's implied, but to be fair, he doesn't look like Qbert when it happens.
What does he look like?
He looks like somebody completely different. So, okay. I don't want to say it and ruin it.
Just a guy in a orange, like...
No. He completely changes what he looks like to be completely different.
Gotcha.
So, Qbert no longer looks like Qbert. He looks like a woman. And then, when he comes back later, you see... It's like three or four little Qberts in, like a... Oh, God.
Wait, hold on. Why the fuck
can't I think of this now?
Baby carriage?
Crib. That's what I'm looking for. It's like for baby Qberts. That's like after the credits. You hear like somebody open a door and close it. It says, Daddy's home, and there's four Qberts. Like, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy.
Oh, God.
I'm like, wow.
Is she, like, extremely hot?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm just gonna... I want to Google it, but I don't
know. Alright, I think it's, I think her name is... I think her name in the movie is, like, Lady Lisa or something. Because she's from, like, a fake game that they made up for the movie. Yeah, Lady Lisa. If you look her up, she's pretty hot. She's attractive enough to make me forget that she was actually Qbert in the movie.
Oh my.
Exactly.
Okay. I don't judge anymore.
So that's what I thought.
My God.
Because the guy who does it is like, he's like the world record holder for that arcade game back in the 80s. And he like devotes his life to Lady Lisa and like talks to her and shit. Yeah. He's that guy. Dojo Quest is the name of the game. They actually made a mock-up of the game, too.
Someone's gonna obviously make it.
play for free on App Store or Google Play.
Well, there you go.
Look at that.
Would you say this movie or Wreck-It Ralph was better with the IPs that they got?
You know, I don't know, because, I mean... I think the ones in Wreck-It Ralph were a bit more recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones in Pixels, there's a few of them that are mildly obscure.
Qbert's kind of obscure.
I would say more obscure than Wreck-It Ralph. Like, I mean, they have, like, the Joust ostriches and shit, and, like...
They had Turbo. That's pretty obscure.
No, that's a completely different character. The fact that it coincides with a name of a Sega game does not mean that it was intended to do so.
I know, but it's
Turbo Tastic.
If you look at like when it's showing them playing the game, it's Turbo.
Well, why didn't Sega sue?
They had Sonic in it.
Yeah, that doesn't mean they had that.
What?
Famous. Okay. He's from a character, or he's from a game called Turbo Time.
I'm looking up right now. Is it from Turbo? I might be remembering it wrong.
It's not.
Oh no, that's Turbo, for sure. It can't be anything else. Okay. I think Sega will probably let them have it because they haven't made a Turbo IP since the first one.
Turbo Time, dude. No, it's completely different.
Close.
No, it's not. If you're talking about when he shows up in Road Blasters, maybe. But his original game is nothing like that.
Huh.
Well, okay, we can download the Wreck-It Ralph iOS game, because apparently Turbo Time is in there, and then we can try it.
Done. Got it. Download.
Turbo Time appears to be largely inspired by Rally X from Namco in 1980.
Really?
Yeah. The name appears to be a reference to 1981's Arcade Turbo. It's not the same.
You can't see this.
I love Turbo. You do love Turbo, but it doesn't mean that it needs to be.
Oh yeah, you're right. It is very.
It's very different.
Rally X-esque.
Boom. Gotcha.
Wasn't Road Blasters like?
Road Blasters is an actual game.
I know that, but it was like a sequel to something else, like Math Blaster. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's definitely it.
U.S. Gold sucks. Sorry.
U.S. Gold sucks. All right.
They have the like worst port. They like ported Mega Man to the freaking Game Gear.
It's all about Data East.
It's all about Acclaim.
Data East, man. Data East is the best. Kid Nikki Radical Ninja? What? Mm-mm. Yeah, sorry, another good game.
Thank you for listening to episode 2, and stay tuned for episode 3.